Amen. Well, I think that about sums everything up. Let's go. Let's go live for Jesus. Wow, I was really touched and blessed by that. And some of the things that she hit on, the Lord really impressed upon my heart to share with you as well. And so I'm really excited about that. My name is Jess, for those of you who don't know me. And I don't know about you guys, but I really want to be Greek. I am so sad. I'm a European mutt, 50%, maybe 90% German, I don't know. And then a whole bunch of other countries are thrown in there. But, the dancing, the food, the huge family, that is so cool. Anybody else been, so blessed by this retreat, though? I've been so blessed and encouraged. And even though we don't have, maybe you don't have a large family, we are all family in Christ, and we can build each other up as our sisters in Christ. And that is just mind blown. So it's amazing. So tonight we get to cover a pretty incredible section of scripture. And as we know, Paul is writing to the believers in Thessalonica. I learned that pronunciation. I thought it was Thessalonica all this time. Thessalonica. We are first going to cover what's called the event. And in First Thessalonians chapter 4. What is that event? Spoiler alert. It's the rapture. And then we're going to go into the preparation. How do we as Christians prepare for that return of Jesus Christ? And finally, we're going to end with the build up. How can we as believers build each other up in this glorious hope of heaven that we have? So let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for tonight. And thank you for this opportunity to study your word. Thank you that we do have this hope of heaven, Lord, that it's something that we can place our faith in, Lord, because you're faithful. You are such a good God, and we love you so much. And pray, Lord, that our hearts would be open to receive from you. Pray, Lord, that if there's anybody here tonight who doesn't know you, Lord, or maybe they've walked away, God, Lord, it's your heart to have them in the kingdom of God, Lord. And we just pray that they would make that decision tonight to come to you for the first time or to come back to you, Lord. So thank you so much for your word, and thank you for this opportunity, God, just to dive in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so let's start off with the event, and that is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. We're going to read the first two verses right now, okay? So, we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. So question, who are those who have no hope that verse 13 is talking about there? Those who have no hope are those who have not placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And what distinguishes us from those? Well, I just said it's your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And verse 14 says, since we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Ladies, believing in the resurrection of Jesus Christ is absolutely vital, not only in the events that take place in this passage, but it's vital to our salvation. And I know we've each been given these Greek words, and I'm very excited, and I threw another one in as a bonus, okay? It's a bonus word. The word for believe in the Greek is the word pistuo, and this means to be committed to or placing your trust in. And as Christians, we are committed to and we place our trust in the work that Jesus Christ did on the cross. And so, guess what? If Jesus did not raise from the grave, there is no way this next event, the rapture that we're going to read about, would be able to happen. So, let's go ahead and keep reading about this awesome event that is our hope of heaven. Okay, so verse 14, for since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Okay, so we're talking about the event, and every event has an itinerary, at least an organized one does. So let's kind of take a look at what the itinerary was. Okay, let's break this passage down a little bit. So first we know the Lord will descend from heaven, right, with a cry of command, a voice of an archangel. What does this sound like? I don't know, but it's going to be awesome. The sound of the trumpet of God. Okay, Warren Wiersbe writes about this, and he says that in the Roman Empire, they would use trumpets to announce the arrival of a great person. So, Jesus is the greatest person who was, who is, and who is to come. Could you imagine what the trumpet of God sounds like? Okay, I was a band kid, and I didn't play the trumpet. I played the flute, but I know that when my parents would come to my band concerts, it was not to hear a great piece of music. Okay, like, let's get that out there. But it's kind of funny when you think about, like, maybe you think about, like, a band or something, and you think about the trumpets, because the trumpets are the loudest, so when they mess up, you really know, you know? And it, like, doesn't sound very choreographed, doesn't sound, like, all together and stuff. But in all of Jesus Christ's magnificence and this event, a sound of the trumpet of God, like, I can't even imagine any better than any symphony, better than any orchestra, better than anything that we could ever imagine. It's like this triumphant entry that he's going to call his church to himself. So let's take a look here. So once that trumpet of God goes out, these glorious saints who have passed away will rise first, and then those who are alive go next. We are caught up. And that word for caught up is one of the Greek words that you have. I think it's harpazo. I don't know. And it means to carry off by force, to snatch away, and to pluck. And the Lord is going to pluck each of his children out of the world and snatch us away so that in the end of verse 17, we will always be with the Lord. Like, always is like an eternity. Like, it's not going to end. It's going to be forever. So with these things in mind, we're going to read verse 17 again. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. Now, I was going to ask for an amen, but we've all been like Grecian for at least 24 hours, so I'm going to ask for an opa. So, we will always be with the Lord. Can I get an opa?
Opa!
Yes. Awesome. Okay. So now the Bible says that no one knows the day or the hour except for the Father. So this event, this rapture, when we're caught up with the Lord, it could happen 30 seconds from now. It could happen 30 minutes from now. It could happen 30 years from now. We don't know. But what we do know is that we need to live our lives in anticipation of this hope of heaven, with this expectation that one day we will always be with the Lord. So before we move on to the next section, I do want to talk about why Paul wrote this passage. So we're going to read verse 13 one more time. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. Paul is writing this to comfort those who are grieving. And we've all experienced grief in some form. And there's no way I can fully understand each situation that everyone here experiences. Everyone has pain, and everyone, like, that we go through when we lose someone we love. And again, there's no way I can fully understand. There's no way you can fully understand what your sister in Christ is going on when you lose somebody that you love. But what we do know is that through the midst of the pain, through the midst of the difficulty, through the midst of the sorrow, we have Jesus Christ, and we have our hope of heaven. And I encourage you, because we serve a God who is perfect, who is our strength in time of need. And he fully understands. I mean, he knows every hair that is on your head. And how much more would he know the greater details in your life? So when you feel heavy, when you feel alone, When you feel like you're drowning, call on the name of Jesus. Cling to Christ. He will never leave you nor forsake you. All right, so we do have that hope that whether someone has passed on or we are still living here on earth, that one day, 1 Corinthians says, in the twinkling of an eye, the Lord will snatch us from this place. We will meet him in the air with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, and we will always be with the Lord. This is a reality. This event will happen. Yes. All right, so now we're going to move on to the preparation. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. When you know an event is coming, you want to prepare for it. I mean, you want to make sure you have the right wardrobe. You want to make sure you know how to dress, who's going, if there's food. I mean, this is a Greek retreat. We need to know about the food, right? So then you know all those things. So while we don't know when the rapture is going to happen, we always want to be ready. And so let's read chapter 5, verse 1. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. All right, the day of the Lord in verse 2, Kristen did such a great job as like a really quick breakdown. Rapture first, day of the Lord next, millennial kingdom, final judgment. Right? Yes? Okay. And so that's the day of the Lord. And the word for day is the other Greek word that we have, okay? And that's imera. And it has a pretty intense meaning when you look at scripture, okay? So this meaning is of the last day of this present age, the day of Christ will return from heaven, raise the dead, hold the final judgment, and perfect his kingdom. Okay, and David Guzik writes that the day of the Lord does not refer to a single day, but to a season when God rapidly advances his agenda to the end of the age. So it's a time frame. Okay, and the day of the Lord, it's a time frame, it's a time of judgment, it's real, and it's going to happen. How do I know? The Bible tells me so. And I just want to encourage you, side note, Pastor Robert just finished going through the book of Revelation. So if you want to get deeper understanding of like what the end times are going to be like, what it's going to look like, go online, check it out. It's there. Listen to it. Robert is such a gifted teacher, and he goes through everything so well. So check it out. But going back to the study, while judgment is very real and the day of the Lord is very real, the Lord offers grace through his son, Jesus Christ. And if you're not right with the Lord, maybe you've never given your life to Christ. Maybe you've walked away, you've been doing your own thing, living your own life. The Bible says, call upon the name of the Lord, and you will be saved. And before we leave tonight, you're going to have that opportunity to give your life to Christ. But right now, we're going to move on. Little teaser there. Okay, so let's pick it up in verse 4. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day, which is speaking of the day of the Lord, to surprise you like a thief, for you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober. What is Paul saying here? Okay. So he's talking to believers. And so when you're somebody who's awake, who's sober, you're what? You're aware of your surroundings. You know what's going on. When you're in the daylight, you can see where you're walking. That's kind of nice. You can see where you're going. Whereas if you're in the darkness, sometimes it's so dark you can't even see the hand in front of your face. I mean, you're wobbling around, you're bumping into things, you don't have a clear direction, you can't see quite where you're going. But if you're in the light, it's clear. Clear line of sight, clear line of direction. Let's say, like, you know how to go from point A to point B. As children of the light, our point A is where we are right now. Our point B is our hope of heaven. So with that, let's let the light of Christ illuminate our walk as we draw closer to our hope of heaven. because he is our light, he is our joy, he is our salvation. And something else to consider in this passage, Warren Wiersbe writes, Paul's purpose was to encourage the believers to live holy lives in the midst of their pagan surroundings. Question, as a child of the light, are you living a holy life in the midst of your pagan surroundings? And you might say, well, I can't answer that because I don't know what pagan means. Well, I'm happy to tell you that it's Greek. Actually, it's not. It's Latin. It does mean, which I thought was kind of interesting when I looked up the definition, it does refer to the ancient Greeks. One of a people or community observing a polytheistic religion as the ancient Romans and Greeks. Polytheistic religion sounds like ancient Greece to me a little bit. So if we were to apply this to this day and age, it'd be those people who choose to chase after the fleeting pleasures of sin, aka the things that this world has to offer, those things that don't fulfill you when you think that they do. That's why they're fleeting pleasures, because they don't last. So with this definition in mind, question, as a child of the light, are you living a holy life in the midst of your pagan surroundings? And why do I ask this question? Well, in the world that we live in, it's so easy to allow the culture that we live in to infiltrate in and through our lives. Maybe we allow our culture to dictate our lifestyle. It turns black and white areas to gray. And as Corey spoke today, that things that are black and white truths of God's word become none to us. They become those gray areas. And sexual immorality is a huge one. So much so that Corey said sex 72 times today. And I know because I'm the one who counted, okay? So, but I do want to say, though, I was so blessed by her teaching, and I was so blessed by the truths that she shared with us, because this is a reality. This is something that needs to be addressed. We do want to be set apart for the Lord. So, like, where am I? Whether we are involved in these sexual sins, or maybe we've become accepting of it, perhaps even sedated by it, the enemy has done such a great job at twisting God's word so much that if we're not careful to make God's word the firm foundation for our lives, it becomes easy to drift. It becomes easy to align your perspectives on life with those who are living in the darkness. And that line of darkness and light can become blurred. You know, to the point where maybe we don't realize when our very dear sisters in Christ are drifting away. They're starting down a path that is away from the presence of Christ. And in love, we want to reach out and love them, and by the guidance of the Holy Spirit living inside of them, bring them back to the firm foundation of Jesus Christ, to the firm foundation of God's word, because that's not going to waver like the culture does. It's true. It stayed the same for thousands of years because God's word is eternal. So we're called to let the word of God dictate how we are to live our lives. Why? Because it's alive, it's true, and it's active. It's constant. It's a solid foundation, not like any waves of changes a culture may bring. So in the midst of the culture that we live in, what do we do? Well, Ephesians 5 says, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. And also, as it says in Philippians 1, Kristen also talked about this verse, it's my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Ladies, as children of light, let the glorious light of Jesus Christ illuminate in and through you. Have transparency before the Lord. Yearn for that desire to walk with him in spirit and in truth. Pray, ask the Lord to search your heart, to reveal to you where you're not being maybe fully transparent, where maybe you're holding some things back, where you can shine brighter. Keep close accounts with the Lord. Be in prayer daily, as Terry said. Pray without ceasing. So let's have a heart to draw near to the Lord. May we have a heart to grow closer to him each day. So let's pick it up in verse 8. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just what you're doing. So let's talk about this armor here. It only talks about the breastplate and the helmet. So what does the breastplate cover? Your vital organs. And faith and love, because it's the breastplate of faith and love. Those things are vital in your life. And it covers, which I thought was really interesting, the breastplate covers like your front and it covers your back. So whether you're getting shots from all sides, your vital organs are protected. And then also, Warren Wiersbe exhorts us to have faith in God and love toward God's people. So with those things in mind, let's look at the helmet. The helmet, the hope of salvation. And did you know, I thought this was interesting, did you know that the helmet was the last piece of armor a soldier would put on? And if they didn't have their helmet on, what's the point of the rest of the armor? Like, your face is completely exposed, like your head's completely exposed. What's the point in the rest of the armor? Our hope of salvation, that's to be our eternal mindset. If you don't have place, if you don't have your hope of heaven in place, like, what are you doing? Like, we need to have that. We need to have that single focus. And I love what Kristen said about giving distractions an apartment in our mind. And whether that apartment may be a little studio or a penthouse, I don't know. Do you think when soldiers go into battle, they give way to distractions? I mean, what if they did? They're getting ready, they're lined up, they're standing in combat, and one of them just starts thinking, like, I can't believe what this guy said to me about that one time. How dare he? I don't even care that he apologized. That's stupid. It's awful. And you know what? If an arrow goes towards your face, I'm not even going to protect you. Like, that doesn't work, okay? What kind of soldiers would we be if we lived our Christian walk like that? And I love that Kristen encouraged us to love, to forgive, and to move forward. And how can an army divided against itself stand and move forward, press on to the prize of Christ? And they can't because they're too distracted with the things of God's world. Or with, not the things of God's world, things of this world. We, as the army of Christ, though, we need to be single-minded. We need to build each other up. We need to move forward. We need to press on to that hope of heaven. All right. And so, when we go into battle each day, let's have faith in God, love toward God's people, and our hope of heaven. So now what we're going to do is we're going to do what's called the build-up. And that's kind of a recap a little bit. With these things in mind, with the things that we covered, when you're getting excited for an event, you talk it up, you know, you get excited. You have this anticipation. Oh my gosh, I'm going to this wedding, it's going to be beautiful. Oh my gosh, I'm going to this retreat, it's going to be awesome, can't wait. You know, different things like that. Like, think about like a little kid for Christmas. Like, oh, Christmas is tomorrow, I can't wait. I can't wait to see what presents I'm going to get. This is going to be awesome. And so, like, what we get to do, and the reason why I talk about this is because at the end of chapter 4 and at the end of our section in chapter 5, it tells us to encourage one another. So in 4:18, it says, therefore, about the rapture, therefore, encourage one another with these words. And in 5:11, when we talk about being children of light, it says, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. And as sisters in Christ, we have this tremendous opportunity to come alongside each other, to encourage one another in our hope of heaven. And we have this opportunity to be with each other, to be there for you through different difficult circumstances. Why? Because this is not our home. And one day we will always be with Jesus, just like it says in his word. We get to encourage one another. So how do you encourage one another? How do you seize the day? It's so easy to get caught up in these day-to-day activities and just let the days breeze by. And the Lord has really been pressing upon my heart personally that I get really busy, and sometimes I put investing into relationships on the back burner. And it's so funny that Cynthia Heal talked about how three things are eternal, because that's in my notes. I'll let you read it. If you want to see it, it's there. But we get to invest in our brothers and sisters in Christ. We get to be there for them. And I was really blessed by my brother and my sister-in-law. They live in Orlando. My sister-in-law did that beautiful video, the Hope of Heaven video that you got to see this morning. I love them so dearly. They moved out there just a little over 2 years ago, and the church has been going. They started a church. It's called Reach Orlando. It's been going on for almost 2 years now. And to see the growth that's taken place there, to see the work that God has done, is absolutely amazing. And ironically, tomorrow, they are doing this thing called 21 Days of Love. And it's something that they put together for their church. And I was talking to my brother, and I was like, can I share that with people? And he's like, yeah, of course you can share that with people. And so what it is, though, is it's like taking the love that we get to pour into each other, and we get to put feet on it, put feet on the love of Jesus. And you get to, like, let's say each day you just pick like two people to pray for, maybe two people in your life. Everybody has time for that, whether you're driving or whether you wake up 5 minutes earlier and sit up in your bed and not laying down, you know, as Terry was talking about. Let's just pick three people that you can write an encouraging note to. Just start doing that. Build each other up. Encourage each other in that. And it's such a cool way to deepen your relationships with each other, encourage your walk with Christ, and in return, you yourselves are blessed because you get to serve the Lord in that. And it's just so cool. So I just want to encourage you and challenge you. Like, how can we build our sisters up in Christ? And how can we reach out to those in our lives who don't know the Lord? How can we show them the love of Christ? And so that's just something between you and the Lord. We all have those different giftings. We all have those different abilities, you know. And maybe it's just simply by serving. Maybe it's just simply by saying, you know what, here, I brought you a cup of coffee. And if coffee is a love language for anybody else, like it is for me, I mean, I'm not saying bring me a cup of coffee. I am saying just share the love. Just share God's love with people. So, all right. So as far as the hope of heaven goes, I know that there are people in this room who don't have it. And we want to change that. This glorious event that we're talking about, the one that this entire retreat is themed around, the hope of heaven, while an event, some events are invitation only. And everyone gets an invitation to heaven. Everyone is invited to this hope of heaven. But in order to get into the event, you have to respond. You don't get the invitation in the mail with and you're just like, just throw it with your junk mail or whatever and just pull it out when it's convenient. I mean, if you do that, like, you go up to heaven and you're like, oh, yeah, I had this invitation here. And Lord's like, I never knew you. You didn't respond. You didn't respond to that. And so you must accept this invitation. Respond and say, yes, I accept the invitation. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe that he rose from the grave. And if you've never accepted Jesus Christ into your life, you're invited. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter the mistakes that you've made. This invitation is sent to you right where you are at, right in your own circumstances. Accept it. Accept the relationship with Jesus. Accept the hope of heaven. And perhaps you've walked away from Christ. Maybe you're at one point following Jesus and you just found yourself drifting away. Maybe you straight up made that decision. You're like, I don't want anything to do with him. Come back. It doesn't matter what you've done. The arms of Jesus Christ are open wide. When you come running to him, he's not going to push you away. He's going to embrace you. He's going to welcome you in. And the Bible says that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. It also says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So make that decision to go from living in darkness to living in the light of Christ. We're going to pray, and I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond to this invitation that you've been given from Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much that we have this hope of heaven. And Lord, we just want to lift up those in this room, God, who haven't given their lives to you yet, Lord, and you're drawing them, Lord. And they can feel you tugging at their heart, Lord. I just pray that they would just make the decision to surrender themselves, to give themselves to you, Lord. We're just so thankful for who you are, for the perfect love that you have for each and every one of us, God. In Jesus' name, amen.